of which we heard just the last verses today, there are no other encounters between the apostles and the risen Christ prior to the one we just heard. So we need to remember that. That's important. The disciples, the apostles, traveled all the way from Jerusalem to Galilee so they can see Christ. They can see and meet the risen Christ. So they're coming, we can imagine, with expectation, with this mix of emotions after the passion. And finally, they get to see Jesus. And what happens at that point? This is what we heard. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. They saw, they worshipped, they doubted. How strange, right? How could they doubt at that point? After so many experiences, after so much time with him, how could they literally worship, will be translated as, how could they kneel down and at the same time doubt? And for this to make any sense, we need to understand what the gospel actually means by doubt. The original word that is translated as doubt is composed by two other words, double and standing. Double, standing. So to doubt here means going in two ways, shifting between positions. Now we all can remember a number of other passages in the gospel in which we also hear about doubts. The most famous one, Thomas. But the gospel tells us very specifically, not about his doubts, but about his unbelief, slightly different. And then when Jesus came to the apostles and rebuked them because their hearts were troubled and doubts arose in their hearts, the word specifically means thoughts or questions. But here, in this case, doubt means something very specific, to waver, depending on a number of things, to have it both ways. But in that final moment with Christ, the disciples had to come to a final choice. They could not live any longer trying to have it both ways, wavering depending on what's going on, if they're threatened, if they feel good, if they're excited, if they're tired. They had to choose. And it is very significant that in that decisive moment, when they had to make a final choice, Jesus did not try to convince them with arguments or with promises of earthly momentary happiness. Rather, he showed them two things. First, his power, and second, their mission. So Jesus said, "All power has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations." And they made their choice and went. They knew that while Jesus was leaving, and again, we can only imagine that that was very hard, at the same time, they were reassured by that promise that he was going to be with them in a different way, but always and everywhere. Now, for us, if we want not just to remember today that the ascension happened some time ago, but actually, if we want to celebrate this day and we want to allow it to be real for us, then we need to follow the same process as the apostles, and we need to ask ourselves if we doubt. Probably for most of us, not so much as doubting if God exists at all, although at times that happens too. But probably mostly, if we have this double stance sometimes, if we waver, if we are good as long as the circumstances are good, if we feel ourselves justified to choose differently if something else is going on, the subtle temptation of trying to have it both ways. So one might think, perhaps with different words, but essentially, of course I love Christ, But when someone does something really wrong, then I can be mean to that person, at least in my heart. I love the church, but when I disagree with someone whom I think is wrong, then I can speak poorly of that person, I can judge. I want to live according to the gospel, but I also really want to do this. I want to keep this attachment. The idea, subtle but real, that because we do, as we do, try to follow Christ most of the time, then we can allow ourselves to forget about him for maybe just a few minutes of doing something against him, of enjoying some sinful or non-virtuous distraction, of just doing what I'm feeling. That is just wrong. That is wavering. That is doubting. That is having it both ways. And just as with the 11, the Lord is inviting us today to make a choice. All power has been given to me, he says. You too, all of you who are here, no exception, go out. Be a witness. Make disciples. All of you, get out of your comfort zone. You're already good. You already believe. You probably are involved in a very significant way in doing good things. That is true, I think, for everyone here. Still, the Lord is pushing us with love. Get out of your comfort zone of what you already know and control and live this life as an adventure, as a challenge, as a mission. It is very significant that the apostles had this turning point in their lives, ended that kind of doubt of trying to have it both ways, at that point when they stopped seeing their lives about themselves, even themselves following Christ, themselves being good and doing good things, when they changed that perspective, and rather they understood themselves as serving him and his power and everyone else because of him, and trying to invite everyone, as many as possible, to encounter the one they had met. And this has to be true for us as well. Our life has to be service, a never-ending mission. When we are too okay and satisfied with our good works, then maybe that's a time to really ask ourselves if the Lord is not offering more, if he is not calling us to more. And the Lord, as he promised, will be with us always. Last week, we close the homily with some beautiful words of the inaugural homily of Pope Benedict. Today, let us close with beautiful words of the first homily of St. John Paul II, whose 100th anniversary we celebrated this week. Do not be afraid to welcome Christ and accept his power. Christ, make me become and remain the servant of your unique power, the servant of your sweet power, the servant of your power that knows no eventide. Make me be a servant.